Listen to WGN Radio's newest podcast, Behind the Badge, Illinois, hosted by David Hochberg. Behind the Badge, Illinois views current events through the eyes of Illinois law enforcement leaders. Tune in. Visit WGNradio.com/behindthebadge.
Very good. Very good. All right, let's do this here. 3, 2, 1. Hey, it's Elton Jim Toronto, and this is Captain Podtastic. And welcome to another episode edition of Elton Jim Toronto's Captain Podtastic right here at WGNplus.com. Episode 48, as we continue our march toward episode 52 and 1 year. And knowing my track record, at episode 51, I will get a phone call. And they would say, Jim, we love your podcast. However, oh, that word, however, I have come to fear the word, however. But as it stands right now, I'm looking forward to number 52. So that's where we're looking. But right now, I'm looking forward to episode number 48 because I am very excited and honored to have a guest for the entire hour-long podcast this week. A Chicago radio, and I don't think I'm over-exaggerating, legend, certainly innovator, and at the very least, a radio idiot. Kevin Matthews.
Hey, how are you, Jim?
How are you doing, man?
Good, we're here for an hour.
What, you can't stretch?
Well, that's a long time.
All right, all right.
With the podcast, it doesn't have to be an hour.
All right, hey, it's your.
I like my podcast. Can be 18 minutes.
Wow.
Maybe 2.5 minutes.
Ooh.
Maybe 4 hours. But
wow. Well, it's up to you. If you have to go to dinner.
No, I just that seems like a long time, an hour.
All right. Well, maybe it sounds, but you don't know how much I can talk.
Well, I know you can talk a lot. And you know what? At the beginning when you say, I hope management doesn't fire you, you gotta let that all go. Nobody's going to fire you from a podcast.
No, I understand that, but at least they're letting me use their studios as opposed to my kitchen.
And eventually you do a few good podcasts that'll lead you downstairs to the big studio.
You mean back downstairs?
Back downstairs. Yeah, Todd is listening to the podcast, not all of them, but it'll get you back down and you can be in the big studio.
Yeah, just in time for when the station leaves the Tribune Tower and goes to another building, and then there won't be a showcase studio anymore.
But see, you are projecting way down the road.
Oh, I know.
You've got to enjoy. You've got a nice. You're way up high in the Tribune building. You can look at that beautiful view you've got if you go over.
I'm not complaining. That's why I don't want to get the phone call. But plus, it's a joke.
You're going to get the phone call. We all got the phone call. I got the phone call many times.
Yeah.
It just happens.
Well, I'm glad that you got the phone call back in the late 80s to come here.
Well, I almost I got the phone call, and I didn't want to come. And
really?
I think what you ought to do is get up. Can they reach over to the window?
Yeah.
I think what you ought to do is get up, pull your pants down, and just stand naked. Out and just you're way up. You're at like 10-12 stories.
What makes you think that that's not how I do the show all the time?
Well, yeah, I doubt it, but it sounds good, doesn't it?
It feels better.
Yeah, I know.
Well, it's good to hang loose too. I don't want to say anything, but I am able to hit the ledge standing straight up. So.
You're fine, buddy. You're gonna do. You're alive. Do you realize how many people? You know, they're going to die here within this hour, around the world.
Wow.
Just enjoy yourself.
Oh, no, I'm having fun, and I am very excited to talk to Kevin. Kevin has been very supportive of me and my career. I worked with Kevin for about 4 years. Once a week, I would come on your show and do an entertainment segment, and through your support and through that segment, I ultimately got a weekend show on AM 1000 for about a year, thanks to the exposure.
And you got the call, and then you got another call, and then you got another call. Jim, you know what? We can talk about the past. What's going on right now?
Well, that's what I want to find out from you, is what's going on with you, because you are certainly a podcast pioneer.
Yeah.
And been doing this for how many years now?
You know, to tell you the truth, when I got the call and then got bumped from ABC, I was doing ABC radio, me and my little internet buddy, Derek, he and I, we were doing podcasts before anybody was doing podcasts, especially in Chicago. I'm proud of that.
Yeah, and so how long would you say? Has it been, 8 years or 10 years? How long has it been now?
More than 10.
Wow.
Yeah. And it's, you know, but and then I'm over at Dahl, at Steve Dahl, D-A-H-L, Dahl, Steve.com.
Right.
And I'm having a nice time because, you know what, I'm in my own studio. I'm on once a week. I'm busy outside the studio. I help out with people with disabilities because I've got MS. I'm a cripple. you know what I'm saying?
Well, you know what? I want to actually talk about that because I was lucky enough about a year or so ago. Kevin and I, thankfully, have kept in touch over the years, especially over the last year or so. And I got a chance to I certainly heard the news, and I think it's very courageous and brave and compassionate for you to have been so honest and so forthcoming with your diagnosis of MS and now your continual example of showing people that while this certainly is a serious disease and something that, you know, you're talking about getting the call. I'm sure that phone call wasn't fun. But at the same time, you have not let it slow you down. You have shown and you have been a really inspiring role model to show that despite being diagnosed with MS and the whatever symptoms may occur with you on a regular basis or a periodic basis, you have certainly shown that it has not slowed you down, that you continue to lead a very vibrant and zestful life and a creative life. And so you certainly have become quite a role model.
Well, that's all. That's not true. It has slowed me down. Damn you! I can't run. I can't run.
Never could run.
I could. I can't do squat thrust. I can't do the things you're telling the audience I can do. Now, you know what? Here's the deal. You're drawing a card. It's called life. You know, and I my heart goes out to Brian Bickle.
All right,
Blackhawk.
Definitely
with the hurricane. He's got MS. He was just diagnosed, and he's going to retire from hockey after this season.
Yeah,
I want to reach out to Brian Bickle and others who are going to be diagnosed or have MS because, you know, you just don't feel sorry for yourself. You move on, you know, and I can't imagine, you know, Bickle was such a great skater and what he did for the Blackhawks and whatnot. But life, you know, he's got a chance to help people in a way I don't even think he's imagined yet.
Well, that's a really good point because, take a guy like Bickle. It was so interesting because, you know, he went through so much, especially being such a high-profile player. You know, he signed this huge contract, and suddenly, you know, his his productivity was slowly going down, and he was getting nailed by the press. He was getting nailed by the fans. What happened to this guy? Oh, he signs a big $4 million contract, and now he's not putting up. And even Quenneville, to some extent. Mm-hmm. You know, they sent him down to the minors, and who knows exactly when these symptoms were showing. And now certainly a lot of people have to be, you know, walking around with their tails between their legs saying, wow, you know, we may have been hard on this guy. Meanwhile, this guy was suffering from something that even he didn't know for a while there. He thought he had vertigo.
I bet you, like me, Brian has had MS for quite a while. And it's a slow burn. And I can't imagine skating, you know. Because
so how long do you think you had it before you were diagnosed?
I think, honestly, I bet you I had this at least for 10 years.
Really?
Yeah, and it just gets,
And so what was the flashpoint?
The flashpoint, I was on the air. It was in 2000. Let's see. I got diagnosed in 2008. Wow. I was on the air, and I could not move my right side of my body, my leg, my arm. I honestly thought I was having a stroke.
Yeah.
And I found out 3 days later, they thought it was a brain tumor.
Wow.
And where this mass was growing was not, they couldn't operate. So it was basically, go get your life in order because you're going to die. I mean.
Did they tell you that?
Well, yeah, they said, there's nothing we can do. We can't operate. Go home. Get your life in order. And, you know, they were running tests. And that was during, the Christmas time, Thanksgiving time of November 2008. So,
wow.
Hey, this could be my last Thanksgiving and everything with my family. Well, I found out I was about ready to go about 10 days later. I was about ready to go and have a brain biopsy in Chicago, and they said, wait, it's MS. It's a real rare form of MS, but, you know, I didn't even know.
I will certainly plead ignorance here. I don't know too much about MS. I know that it's a very debilitating disease. So you actually had some sort of a tumor or a mass?
No, what it is it starts very, very small, you know, like little cells, and then that's how come they said it was about the size of a walnut. In order to grow that long, I've had to have that in my head for decades, and finally it hit hard. And what it is, MS is a autoimmune disease, and everybody listening in your audience, one person listening is going to get MS every week. You know, it's just they don't know why there's no cure for it, but at the same time, boy, they're making some rapid headway towards a cure.
So now, in retrospect, when now that you know so much about the disease, to your point, you said that you may have had this for 10 years in terms of this mass growing. But now, do you look back now in retrospect and say, and notice some symptoms that you may have just overlooked or not even, thought were important, and now say, oh, maybe that was beginning?
I physically couldn't do things. You'd get real tired, or your equilibrium. My golf game was just going down the toilet. And again, that's how come I'd like to reach out to Brian Bickle, because I think he could do a lot. People want to know, Brian, I guarantee you, Brian felt more comfortable when he was talking with somebody who has MS as opposed to somebody who doesn't. And Brian's got the ability now to introduce himself and tell people that are being diagnosed, hey, this is what happened to me. This is what's going to go. Here's some of the treatment. You know, he can become a teacher, if you will. And I was thinking of him because I would like to come back to Chicago and do more with Brian, or golf outings, all the promotions we used to do, but the proceeds could go to MS. You know, I've had a great life. It kills me when a kid will get diagnosed with MS. You know, that's why I want to find the cure. Not for me. I want to find it for these young people that are getting diagnosed.
So what was it then internally in you? Because this certainly, you've proven it's been almost 10 years since you have been diagnosed.
Yeah.
This certainly is not a death sentence per se, but it will over time, you know, who knows what will happen. But it would have been very simple and easy and understandable for you to have just gone into your shell and to have disappeared, become a recluse, and not become such a vocal proponent. And someone who wants to help, it could have been very easy for you to just to say, okay, this stinks. I got a raw deal. I'm upset. I'm mad. I'm pissed. And I'm just going to sulk. And yet you did not take that road.
Because I'm not like that. I mean, if I saw somebody, if you just said, Kevin, this is what you're going to say and do and feel, I'd beat myself with a shovel. you got to stop with that. My thing is, I've learned a lot. One, you got to take some kind of medication. I know people with MS that are not taking anything, and they are just dive bombing.
Why wouldn't they take it?
Well, it's one. The medicine I'm on is $80,000 a month.
Oh,
think of that! $80,000 a month.
Oh my gosh!
And you know, people unfortunately can't afford that.
Wow!
Or, you know, it's just sad, but at the same time, you've got to take something, or be very careful of these people that offer holistic, you know, hey,
right.
I've got a friend who, I love that too. Everybody, yeah. Oh, I've got a friend who's got a friend, and they get stung by bees. You should really try that. Okay, great.
Well, I tell you, I hadn't seen you since you were diagnosed, and last year we did get together in person because, as luck would have it, Elton John was performing in Grand Rapids.
Yeah.
So that gave me a great opportunity to have a one of my favorite days. I saw Kevin Matthews in the afternoon, and I saw Elton John in the evening.
I know. And you've seen him since.
Oh, yeah. I just came back, last month. So I'm in Colorado Springs, number 168. Thank you very much.
Unbelievable. Man.
But what I was very impressed at, you know, I didn't know what kind of physical or mental shape you would be in. Hadn't seen you. And while certainly you were walking a little slower,
mm-hmm.
but you drove. We were walking through a hotel lobby.
you've got to live, you know.
Yeah.
If anybody out there knows Brian Bickle, and of course GN being the
right.
voice in the station for the Blackhawks, I would love to reach out to him because I think it'd be fun if he and I got together, and then maybe we could bring back the gym shorts outing next year.
Yeah, right.
Get a hold of Larry Wirt, the Tribune, and bring that back, the gym shorts invitational, and actually start doing something in addition to all that's being done for MS. You know, I mean,
is there in the span of different types of diseases and causes and charitable things. Several years ago, there was the ice bucket challenge, which brought a lot of attention to ALS. Where do you feel, since you're certainly right in the middle of it? Where do you think MS falls on the scale of the awareness of the general public and the giving in terms of people giving?
I don't think the awareness is where it could be. Again, MS has MS and Parkinson's are really almost like brother and sister diseases. And I've got friends, there's some great facilities that I think Parkinson's is on the eve of a cure. I really do. And if that happens, then MS. And I just would like to do more. I know that me and Brian Bickle, for example, could put such a big spotlight on MS and autoimmune diseases. We could do it more than...
Well, you could become the Jerry Lewis of MS.
Well, but some of these organizations, you know, I mean, I want it, when I do a charity, I give 100% of the money, the proceeds, back to the charity. You know, I don't have a board. I never did. When I had the Kevin Matthews Foundation, we did so many children's charities, and all the money went directly to, like, the Brittle Bone Foundation or diabetes. It went right to kids' facilities and doctors.
Now, let me ask you about your current project. I mean, if anybody remembers, Kevin has listened to him since he came here in Chicago. I was listening from day one and continue to, to be a fan. You always have 18 plates spinning at the same time.
Mm-hmm.
You are always a very active guy. You're always doing a lot of different things. And like I said, it's a tribute that even though given this disease, which part of it, to your point, your symptom is fatigue and tiredness. It doesn't seem to have slowed you down. I was shocked to see and also inspired once again to see. I was on your Facebook page about a month or so ago, and I noticed that here's Kevin, Grand Rapids, Michigan, citizen in Fatima.
Yeah.
In Italy.
No, that's in Portugal.
Oh, in Portugal. I'm sorry. In Fatima.
Yeah.
Well, I was in the one in Italy.
Oh, okay. Sure.
No, it's like
that's when Elton John was in Fatima, Italy. Right.
But here's Kevin in Fatima with a priest and a nun.
Yeah.
And you were at the spot. Tell me how you got to Fatima.
Well, one thing, I got diagnosed here in Michigan. I left in 2005. It was time for me, radio-wise, to go back where I started. And so I wanted to just go back and just retool my entire radio career. So I came back where it all started in Michigan. That was 2005. In 2008, I was diagnosed with MS. By 2011, I wasn't able to work. They let me go. It was tough. 2011, I went to a flower shop because I heard a voice that said, get your wife some flowers. And there was a flower shop right there. I pulled in. I got out of my truck. I'm walking towards the door. It's in November. It's a little slippery. I'm afraid I'm going to fall. But I'm walking towards the door, and I look over, and I see a dumpster. And on the ground of the dumpster is a bunch of trash, but I also saw this statue of the Virgin Mary. And she's in the dirt, and I walk over, and she's broken in half. Her hands are missing. She's covered in trash. She's dirty. And I walked inside, and the clerk said, what could you want? Can I help you? And I said, I want to buy. You know, I really want to take that statue. And she goes, it's not for sale. And I'm thinking, I'm not going to leave here unless I get that statue.
But it was in the garbage anyway, right?
Well, it's the statue of the Virgin Mary. I'm not going to leave that holy object there.
Right, but my point is, why did you even have to ask them? It was, if it was in the dumpster, they were throwing it out, right?
I think courtesy. You know, it's still on their property, Jim. I know you shoplift a lot.
Well, I know, but they threw it out.
Well, anyway, she goes, no, and then I said, anyway, she recognized my voice from the radio, and she let me have it, and what happened was, we put her back together, but we didn't completely paint her. We didn't put her hands back on. She's called Broken Mary. And what has happened, that statue has touched lives all around the world. I wrote a book about it, about my life, about Broken Mary. You can get it now. It's in paperback. It went from hardcover to paperback. It's Broken Mary. It is Broken Mary, A Journey of Hope. You can get it on Amazon. Anywhere books are sold, and it's amazing how that story. It encompasses my life, how I got into radio, how I found the statue, what's happened since I found the statue.
And where is the statue now?
The statue is in a church in West Michigan.
Oh, okay.
St. Anthony's.
And so what? You take it around and it travels then?
Yeah, people actually take it. The reason I call it Broken Mary or we didn't fix it completely is because we're all broken. And so she represents all of us because we're all broken. And people have taken the statue and put it in hospice or intensive care. She will eventually go to prisons and where people need her. And the story is an amazing story. And again,
So you found the statue, you brought it home.
Yeah.
And then how did you find a home for it at this church?
Well, what I ended up doing, a very good friend of mine is a priest, Father Mark. And I said, Father, I found this, and we decided we're not going to, you know, put her all back together and clean her up so she's perfect. She represents the broken, and she's been blessed, and she now resides in this church, and people from all over come to see her or take her.
Now, how did people find out about this once you gave it to him? How did they find out about it?
We ended up, Father Mark invited me to talk to groups, and he eventually said, you know, you should really write a book because there's so much. And you can get the real details. But the book starts when I'm 4 years old. It talks about how I got into radio, what happened when I hit MS, what's happened since Broken Mary, and how we ended up in Fatima.
Right. So now, yeah, don't take me to Portugal.
Well, the bottom line is, as I'm writing the book...
Not Italy, right? Portugal?
No, Portugal. As I'm writing the book, I realize that Mary is very real. Mary is a big part of my life, and she wants the rosary read, and she also wanted me to come to Fatima. And we just came back, and Fatima's celebrating the 100th anniversary, three little shepherd children 100 years ago. Mary came to them every month from May through October in 1917, and some unbelievable things happened.
And according to the Catholic tradition, she appeared to these three kids, and she gave them three, wasn't it like three things?
Well, the story is amazing, and here we are on the anniversary. It starts in May. Even the Pope is going down in May. All three of the children are becoming saints. The message that she had is still the message that we should listen to today, and especially we're on the brink of wars, troubled times. And
because wasn't there like one of the things, there was one that that was never revealed, and then Pope John Paul II finally revealed it, and had didn't have something to do with communism or something?
Well, it's Russia. The conversion of Russia, that is a prayer to be said, and hopefully Russia would convert and at least acknowledge and follow Mary and follow her son Christ.
You know, what's interesting is a few years ago I went to St. Petersburg in Russia, and to your point, you know, the communist regime is in the grand scheme of history is relatively young.
Right.
And Russia has some of the most incredible, beautiful churches in the world. And I'm walking through these churches. We went on these tours in St. Petersburg, and I'm asking my tour guide, you know, there's amazing mosaics. I mean, just these huge structures. Mm-hmm. And I said, well, during the communists, you know, the 50 or 60 or 70 years of communism, you know, clearly religion, if it wasn't outlawed, it certainly wasn't, you know, wasn't encouraged.
Right.
So what became of these buildings? And she said that a lot of them were used to store food. Like they were used as storage.
Right.
These amazing, you know, because so we think about Russia as this kind of, you know, this communist bleak place. But in its history, it certainly was a very Catholic country.
Big time. And it still is. I mean, the Russian people, you know, are so, there's so many great, kind people all over the world that are Russian or, and there's everybody in the world, so many are starving for spirituality and are, especially Christianity. I mean, Christianity is under attack. Look what happened in Egypt during Palm Sunday last week. It's just the time we live in. And the message of Fatima basically was to repent and to return to Jesus.
Why did you decide to go there?
I really would like people, it's easier, I think, to read the book, because the book answers everything. It answers, again, it starts...
Could I just ask you then, did you find what you were hoping to find when you went there?
More.
Wow. Well, that's cool.
Now I can continue. I went there because I just felt the need to go, and I had to go. I just felt Mary wanted me to go, and I went. Now I know why I had to go, and it's all in the book. And like I said, it starts when I'm 4 years old, and it goes through my radio career, MS, and everything. I'm really proud of the book, and you can get it, Broken Mary, A Journey of Hope, on Amazon or Kindle.
Now, were you always, were you born and raised a Catholic?
Yeah.
And were you always religious, or did your religious side, you know, intensify since the MS diagnosis?
No, it actually, again, read the book. It really starts when I'm 4 years old.
I see.
So you should, and it's really clear what happened when I was four.
I see.
So I'm really proud of it. I'm proud. Yeah. And people can go. You can go right now. If anybody out there, you can Google brokenmary.com. I put that site up, and that's being used all over the world. Apple, we've got an app to pray the rosary, Broken Mary on Apple. That is being prayed, used all over the world, especially in the Philippines. It's amazing what's happened. It's amazing.
So paint a picture. I don't want to get into too much, but paint a picture. When I go to Fatima, what am I seeing?
If you were to go to Fatima, what are you seeing?
Yeah, like what's the what when I go there, is there a specific site I go to?
It's amazing what's happened in 100 years. You'll see it coming up in May. The Pope on the 13th, he arrives on the 12th. Millions will ascend onto Fatima, Portugal, and you'll be able to see what's there. And it's basically, it hasn't changed in over 100 years. It's a small peasant village. It's just very humble.
Is there a certain site?
Now where Mary appeared is gigantic site, a church.
Oh, okay.
It's mammoth, and it's a very powerful place.
And you went now. So now this priest, is this the same priest that was the Broken Mary priest?
Father Mark and I've known Father Mark for over 20 years. He's like a brother to me. Part of me getting the statue from the floral shop, I said, hey, I'll give money to that those Franciscan nuns that live. I didn't even know who they were, really what they were. And, well, you'll read why the Franciscans have become so important. But
and so the nun that you went with as well, she's one of that order?
She helped me with the book, and she's also a big part of the whole Broken Mary.
Now, did you just go with them yourself, or did your family go?
No, just the three of us.
Wow.
So it was great. It was a really great...
How long did you go for?
About 7 days.
Nice.
Yeah, it was great.
Nice, nice. So, tell me, one of the great things for people that grew up listening to you or listened to you, especially when you started, you've always been very open about your personal life. And obviously, as I said, we're talking about this now. But you were always very open about your kids, Trevor and Teague. And I remember hearing the show when Teague was born.
Yeah.
And so give me an update, because I was shocked and really excited to hear that Trevor...
Yeah,
is not just any musician. This guy's got the serious guitar chops, right?
Oh yeah, he's on tour with Dawes. He's touring with Dawes, and I love Dawes. They've been around for a while, and I just think they've got some of the best music, best musicians, and they just finished a 50-city tour. But now that summer's here, they're doing all kinds of stuff. I mean, they're all over.
So is he in the band, or he just is a hired guitarist to augment the concerts?
He would be a hired gun, but they're all from L.A., and they know each other. And so Trev's, you know, he's out with Dawes and plays on stage with Dawes guitar, you know, and they got a great band, and they're just, they're all over the place.
I remember, and this was several, as I said, I was a part of Kevin's show on a weekly basis. I'd come on and do a... an entertainment segment for both when you were on The Loop as well as at WCKG. And I remember, I can't remember what year it was, but I think Trevor was 12 or 13. And he was appearing at a summer festival.
Uh-huh.
There was somewhere, I don't know if it was in Hinsdale, it was somewhere. And you invited me, and I came out, and Trevor was playing. And he was playing by himself.
Yeah.
It was just him. There was no band. And, I mean, that kid was 13 years old, and I was sitting there, and not just to, you know, suck up to you because I was working with you, I was blown away by this 13-year-old who not only had the chops, but had the confidence and the stage presence. He just walked up there, plugged in, and was like Eddie Van Halen.
Well, I've watched him. I taught him his first four chords. And then he just took it on from there. But Trev's always loved music, and he's having a great time now. Again, he's with Dawes.
So what did he do? Did he go right out to L.A.? What's been sort of his progress?
He went to Tennessee and studied at the University of Tennessee and studied jazz. And then 2 years later, he came back into Chicago, and he just started working. Then he moved out to L.A., and he's been out in L.A. for well over 10 years. And, you know, he's worked his butt off. He really has.
I don't want to sound old, because I already do feel old, but how old is he?
Trev just turned 31.
Oh!
Yeah.
I feel ancient.
Yeah, I know. We're all... And their new album, Dawes, it's entitled We're All Gonna Die.
Oh, nice.
So, which is a beautiful song, by the way, but they're having a blast.
Weren't they just recently on Colbert?
Yeah, they were on Colbert and Kimmel, and
wow.
They're opening, I can't say, but man, they're opening and working on tour with some really big, big people.
So that's got to be such a kick for you.
Yeah, and you can go to Dawes, Dawes, and you can, Dawes 2017, and you can see they're all over the place.
That's amazing. Well, congratulations. You've got to feel very proud of that.
I'd like to just go and sell T-shirts or burritos.
You be his merch guy.
I could, because I know Taylor, the lead singer, and the drummer, his brother, their dad, you know, is a great guy. And I'm thinking, hey, we could just go out together and sell burritos.
Yeah, just do merch. Well, you've got, my gosh, you've got your cookbooks.
Right. Well, we could.
You could have your own merch table.
Burritos and air fresheners. We could make handmade air fresheners.
There you go.
Just live off the land.
Well, and then here's another one. So as I said, I remember hearing about your daughter Teague's birth and the fact that it was kind of an interesting name, and people were saying, how do you spell that, and
right.
and all that stuff. So now let me make me feel even older. How old is Teague?
Teague is, let's see, has she just turned 27?
Oh, my gosh.
And she's got three kids.
So she's made you a grandfather.
Yeah, she's got little Trin. She's four. Rhett's, wait, four, three, and one or two.
Wow.
Yeah, little Bo and little Rhett and little Trin.
Oh, my gosh. So yeah. Look at you.
I know.
Kevin Matthews, radio rascal.
I know.
Radio crazy guy, man of a thousand voices, and now you're just a grandfather.
Yeah, but I have a blast with kids, man.
Wow.
Trust me. They call me Bubba, and they come down to my studio, and we have a blast.
That's amazing. And how's your wife doing?
She's good. She's good. She's a saint.
Yeah. Well, I mean, like I said at the beginning, when you get this diagnosis, I mean, you, I'm sure your first thought
right.
is yourself, but then I'm sure you realize that news has implications not just to yourself, but
you know what though? I was really proud of myself how I took that. It wasn't about me; it was about my wife and my kids. When the doctor said this very well could be a brain tumor, and if it is, we can't operate. There's nothing we can do.
Wow.
I'm thinking to myself, okay.
Wow.
At least you know how you're going to check out, but then you want to take care of, you know, your wife and your kids. And again, I've always been, I'm not, to me, there's no such thing as death. And so, I don't know.
Well, yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. Well, like I said, I mean, this is everybody is certainly your family as well as your immediate circle of friends. Everybody gets affected by that kind of a serious announcement and a serious reality. So now that I'm sorry, go ahead.
You know, you take a look at today's headlines. I mean, what's going on? I have no problem leaving the earth. I'm ready to go. My bags are packed. I'm ready to go.
Well, but Don Rickles just recently passed away, and one of my first things that hit me was. The world is a little less funnier today.
Yeah, but heaven's a lot funnier.
Well, yeah. Well, there's certainly a great amount of people up there that are.
Sure. Can you imagine? And it's happened. Don running into Frank. Come on, and Dean and everybody. It's a party. That's what it is. It's an endless, eternal party.
So speaking of that kind of you know that party atmosphere, so now you've done both things. You were a very successful and certainly influential radio personality in one of the biggest markets in the country, and now you've been a podcast pioneer. So in the grand scheme of things, because I'm sure given your diagnosis, there's been some times of self reflection. What do you consider, from a creative standpoint, I would assume podcasting gives you much more creative freedom than commercial radio could ever do, right?
Okay. Yeah. I mean,
yeah.
Yeah. Come on over to my house. I got this new thing. It's called a typewriter. No.
But do you miss being on the radio in terms of its reach?
Oh, my goodness. Yeah. I mean, there's no question. Chicago, I love you, Chicago, dearly. You know, we all grew up together, okay? It wasn't me doing radio. It was the audience, everything. We had kids together. We went to college or went to trade school together. We grew up together. And that's one of my big goals is I want to get into the Radio Hall of Fame because I want to be able to take an opportunity to thank the audience. There are people in my career that have made me, and I got to get on stage and thank them. So that's one of the things I really want to see happen.
Well, here's the thing that you know, from that standpoint was very interesting, and I thought was a key to not only your entertainment value as just a radio personality, but it actually went farther than that. And having had a chance to work with you, I was privy to some of the inner workings. And what I, even as a listener, because I was a fan and a listener long before I ever met you and long before we worked together. And so I came with that first as just an admirer and a fan and a diehard fan. I would literally listen to you every day, your full show. And so I probably have forgotten more about Kevin Matthews than anybody even knows. But here's the thing. I'm just wondering when you're kind of looking and trying to make your own way in this, what was so cool is that you created that community. That Kevhead community, right from the beginning. You were never talking at the audience.
No.
You were always talking with the audience. And now why? And so many people don't do, like, where did that come from? Is that just you, or did you make a concerted effort to say?
From even, I had no intention of getting into radio. And I stumbled onto my college radio station. We ended up, the FCC and the school took the station away from us. I'm very proud of. And then I got into commercial radio. And the bottom line is that that's always what it was. I didn't care about management. I literally mean that. It was about the audience, the audience, the audience, the audience. And so I went from Grand Rapids, little time in St. Louis, came up to Chicago. And it was just.
Did you start as a stand-up comic first?
No, I was doing radio, but there was stuff I couldn't talk about. And so, I was one of the, I can remember, you had Zanies or you had the Comedy Castle in Detroit. That was it. And there was a little club that opened in Grand Rapids. They had open mic night. I went there. I saw the comics, and I go, I can do that. And I signed up. And it just, I was working with Jerry Seinfeld, Tim Allen.
I remember listening to your show in the late 80s, early 90s, long before Home Improvement ever by. And you used to have Tim Allen as a guest all the time.
Well, there was Judy Tenuta, Sinbad. Every comic working in the 80s, we all worked together. And everybody went on. Ellen DeGeneres, she beat me out on Showtime this Yeah, it was really good. I needed that. I needed to go get on stage because I had things to say that I couldn't say on the radio.
And did you, in your stand-up routine, did you do all your voices? Like, Pee Wee Herman and some of the other well-known, celebrity kind of voices?
Yeah, it was real different. I would do, my impression of Sammy Davis Jr. with rabies.
And what did that sound like?
Oh, it was great. I was foaming out of the mouth. I worked a lot with Bill Hicks and the Amazing Jonathan.
Oh, wow. Bill Hicks is amazing.
Yeah. I had a Mr. T toilet bowl brush that I brought on stage, and I was, everything that I could do voice-wise, I really tried to do it different. Everybody was doing, Billy Crystal was doing, Sammy on Saturday.
Right.
And it was like, okay, great. I just spun it differently, Sammy with rabies.
So. Well, I'll tell you, the one thing that and you were definitely an inspiration, as I said, for someone who was looking to get into radio from a little kid, and I was on my college radio station as well, and I listened to you. You taught me so much. Not did you only entertain me every day, but you taught me. I felt like I went to school listening to your show every day because I said, this idea of community, mm-hmm. of being honest and sharing, is something that I've always tried to relate when I'm on the air. But what I was always most impressed of, and when I started to do my own little voices and characters, the one thing that impressed me, and I think which helped me, was that you just didn't do voices. You gave these voices a backstory. You gave these voices a reality. And I think that's a reason why so many of your impersonations were not just like Rich Little, where they come and go. I mean, aside from your good friend Jimmy Schwartz, there is no doubt that your Eddie Schwartz is the Eddie Schwartz impersonation. And if people do Eddie Schwartz, they don't even do Eddie Schwartz. they do your impersonation of Eddie Schwartz.
When I heard Eddie, first time in Chicago, I'm cruising and going home, and he's overnights. I thought it was a woman. And then somebody said, no, that's a guy, and he's like 500 pounds. And then I just got fascinated, and I could hear it in my head, and I just started doing him. But, you know, it was...
But my point is that other people had been doing Eddie.
Right.
But you nailed it to the point where, right. You know, if you remember the golden days of Saturday Night Live, when Dan Aykroyd did his Tom Snyder.
Right, right.
That became Tom Snyder.
Right.
Even more than Tom Snyder.
Oh, it still cracks me up. When Steve Dahl does his Eddie, that kills me. I love it.
Well, his was always the high pitch, hey!
But it is funny. I mean, funny is funny. Now, there's new people on my podcast. We're starting a segment called Inside the Podcast, Inside the Podcast. And it's hosted by Lyle Pepper, who is he's a former employee of NPR.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
So you've got a whole new cadre of people.
Well, yeah, there's new people always coming in.
Whatever happened to your number one fan?
Kathy. Kathy.
Hello, Mr. Man.
Kathy is really a guy that lives in Hollywood in a hotel. I swear to God, I'm sure is doing crack cocaine. Probably dead. But I would love to get my old troupe of comics back together, like Brian McCann, who wrote for Conan. He's
right.
The get all these people back together and do one show in Chicago, which I'm talking about.
Oh, really?
Doing one show after fall when there's nothing to do. And that could happen.
So when you're looking ahead now, you do the podcast, you said, once a week.
Yep.
Tell everybody where they can find that.
Yeah, you can go to Dahl, DAHL.com. That's Dahl, SteveDahl.com. And Steve's put together a nice...
Is there a specific day that posts?
Every Friday.
Every Friday?
Yes.
Okay. And so now, like you said, you are just taking that thing... Wherever it will go, right?
Yeah.
I mean,
I have the ability to take, we finally got all the equipment, we're ready to hit the road. Like I said, my son is on tour with Dawes, you know, he's playing with Dawes. They're playing two nights down at the Ryman Auditorium in Nashville.
Whoa.
Just go, you know, I mean, I can go anywhere, I just need electricity. Seriously.
Yeah. Well, I mentioned him earlier in the program. Your compatriot Jimmy, is he around at all or no?
I've been listening.
Oh, you have?
Yeah.
This is a bigger thrill. I mean, I love Kevin.
Yeah. This is better. I mean, everybody wants to get to me, and
now, how old are you, Jimmy?
I'm not going to answer that.
Oh, why not?
I'm not going to answer that. That is what Google it.
But I mean, so now when Jimmy is, I mean, Jimmy, I haven't heard you in a while. Are many of like your parents? Where are your parents now? Are they still around or
both dead? Thank you very much. Really nice, really nice opening wounds.
And what about your wife Wang?
Been divorced for about 20 years. Again, thank you very much.
Oh, my gosh, Jimmy. So what have you, I mean, how are you surviving? It sounds like you've gone through a lot of turmoil here.
I'm fine. I've got a casino up on Beaver Island on an Indian reservation. If you want to buy M80s, you want to buy medical marijuana, come gamble.
Are you still doing, sports?
Yeah, I have a sports book now.
Very nice. Now, is that as lucrative as everybody says it is?
It's very lucrative. I mean, I'm making big money now. I'm huge.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, so you're not just hanging around like you used to. You at least can afford a better suit than you used to wear.
It wasn't about clothes. It was a person. You know what I'm saying?
Well, you know, I would love...
Really, you know what I'd love to do is make a phone call, and you tonight would get a knock on your door, and a guy would beat you to... hammer.
Wow. I mean, here I am, this fan of yours. I have followed your career, and I'm getting all venom.
You know what? Here's another thing. Rather than beat you to death, I would call a guy who knows a guy that would go to Elton John, knock on his hotel.
Oh, no!
And then break his hand so he'd never play piano again.
Oh, Jimmy!
That'd be great. Or cut his hands off, and he's just got these hooks.
Oh, my.
He can't play.
God.
That'd be beautiful.
So, so do you still keep up with sports in terms of the like for instance?
I own a sports book.
I understand that, but you were a reporter. You were out in the you were covering it.
No, I wasn't. I had interns. I'm not going to do that. That's for a bunch of stupid asses. I know everything when it comes.
So did you? What did you think? I mean, here you were a you're in the Chicago area for 10 years, and you were. You know, from Fort Wayne around.
Yeah.
How exciting was the Cubs' victory?
It had to happen. I mean, it had to happen. It's not going to happen again. Trust me.
Oh, really? So you don't think they're going to repeat?
No, they're not going to repeat. They're not going to be. They should have. It's Fowler. They should have never. It's not going to happen. It's just not going to happen.
Well, I got to tell you, Mr. Shorts, this is Ron Santo from my ultimate skybox.
Yep.
And I just got to tell you, sir, that I think the Cubs are going to win in 2017, and I think you're full of crap.
I think, first of all, you got your legs back?
Well, what's great about being in heaven is you can pick the time when you want to be. Like, I chose the 1967 version of myself.
Oh, God, that's nice.
So I've got both legs, I got a full head of hair.
Good, well, you...
And I look really, I'm making time with a lot of the stewardesses. I'm having a great time up here, Mr. Shorts.
Yeah, but again, you're still kissing ass. Here's a question. Cubs ain't going to do it again.
Look, I think it's pretty sad that someone like you cannot appreciate the greatness of the Chicago Cubs.
Yeah.
And didn't you see that banner go up the other day? Come on!
Well, you might as well get used to it. It's only one banner, too. I mean, you go to some clubs, there's 10, 20 banners up there. Cubs, they got one.
Well, wait a minute. Now, who do you think is going to win it then, Mr. Sportsbook?
You know, to tell you the truth, I hate to say it because I hate St. Louis, but you better watch out for St. Louis.
Oh, come on! St. Louis, we hate the Cardinals.
Yeah, well, trust me, the other night, that opening night down in St. Louis again, they should have kept Fowler. I hate St. Louis, but the Cubs ain't going to win it all.
Well, I believe you right about Fowler. He was a key guy, but Schwarber's leading off. Come on, he knows what he's doing. He's getting on base all the time.
Turn your mic off. I want to talk about the Bears. And what a just a piece of crap team that is, too. Why did they get Sanchez? Whatever.
Yeah, I mean, not only that. I'm gonna take off now, Kevin or Jimmy. You're wrong. The Cubs will be in heaven in 2017.
Whatever that means. Okay, get off the air, dumbass.
I'll tell you this, Jimmy. I'm glad you brought up the Bears because clearly, if anybody listened to you, you were right there with the Bears.
Yeah.
During their great seasons with Ditka, you were personal friends. You were backstage. You were in the clubs.
But again, that's the past.
I understand that. So my point is, you still root for the Bears, or you're not
with this piece of shit team. I'm not going to root for the Bears.
Well, I'm glad you're saying that because my view is the Bears are probably the worst franchise in the NFL, which is sickening, considering that they should be the best, considering that their history of founding NFL football.
The Bears need to be sold, and the Lions need to be sold, and the Browns need to be sold.
Well, you know darn well that they are not going to be sold, the Bears. What I'm saying is Bear fans need to stay home. Don't buy the jerseys and don't go to the games until this team does stuff the right way. That's what had to happen with the Cubs, and that's why they won.
And that's how come the Cubs, a Ricketts family, have just shoved it up our ass, too. Ticket prices, too.
Wow, you are anti-Cubs.
No, I'm not. It's a realism. Look at
but they're spending $800,000. They're spending $800 million in that neighborhood.
Why? Because they haven't done anything in 100 years, and it's a shithole, okay? It's going to cost that kind of money to clean it up.
Wow. Jimmy, coming on with a vengeance. I'm liking this. I don't agree with anything you say.
Oh, you don't agree that that was a shithole, Rick. Okay? And then they win the World Series and up the prices, bend over, grab your ankles. It's the same. Welcome to Chicago.
Don't you have a cover charge at your sports book?
No, it's free.
Oh, all right.
And we get you drunk. Drinks are free. We get you drunk, and then we take everything, house, everything.
So you're basically rolling everyone.
You bet we are. Have a drink, and we're going to roll you and take everything from you.
Oh, and that's better than what the Rickards are doing?
Oh, they just bone you silent. We bone you full throttle.
Oh, my gosh.
You're getting boned when you come to my casino.
Well, Jimmy, well, I'll tell you, I'm glad to see that even after all these years, you still have the attitude and the edge.
Hey, tell Todd Manley to call me, so I got an idea for a couple of programs.
Oh, there you go. Well, thanks a lot, Jimmy. Go take a little nap. You sound a little crazed right now.
Hey, why don't you go to the dry cleaners, because your skirts and you sissy ass.
Wow. Hoo-ha.
Yeah, hoo-ha.
Thank you so much, Jimmy. I looked forward to talking to you now. Well, you know what? I feel like I've just been attacked by Don Rickles. I'm actually happy that you don't like me and that you are attacking me.
He's dead. Oh, and here's some big news that'll break your heart. Barry Manilow's gay. Oh, I can't believe that. Are you kidding me? Hey, come on.
He's the only one who didn't know that everyone knew.
Yeah, and nice hair, too. It looks like fishing line. Big
wow.
Dope.
Jimmy, on fire. Gotta love good old Jimmy Short. Jimmy Shorts. Thanks so much, Jimmy. Now take a rest.
Yeah, eat me. Okay, eat me.
Wow, Kevin, I don't know if you were there for that.
I'm right here.
Wow. I mean, he has lost none of his edge, has he?
I love Jim. I just let him go. I mean, just being honest.
Wow.
So Jim should do some speaking engagement on college campuses. I'm sure all the snowflakes would relate to him. Here's your safe space.
Well, he should go to like Syracuse University, to the communications department.
What's going on with Notre Dame? The vice president is supposed to go and speak at their graduation, and they're all afraid of Pence. What happened to the Fighting Irish?
I am shocked at what has happened. You know, I'm a liberal guy, but I'll have to tell you that I am embarrassed at the way so many people are reacting to what's going on.
Well, I love college professors.
It's just this piling on now.
I love the college professors who don't want a second opinion or they hate free speech.
Yeah, isn't that the whole idea? You're supposed to go to college to open your mind.
I'll tell you what, if you're applying, if I got a business and you're applying and you're a snowflake and you're a pussy and you were scared of Pence, I'm not going to hire you.
Yeah, I'll tell you. I mean, it's a very interesting time. And we're only not even 100 days in.
What does this have to do with Trump? I mean, the bottom line is they don't want anybody coming on campuses. Can you imagine George Carlin, a Bill Hicks, could never go on today's college campus?
Well, how about the fact that some of these campuses have, like, safe zones?
Yeah.
That you can't even, if somebody is so, they feel so attacked, by free speech that they have to go and go to, like, a little timeout room.
I know. It's... Hey, welcome to America. Not everybody's thinking that way, though.
No, I'll tell you. I mean, it's a very interesting time. I mean, you know, what's funny is it's very similar, if you remember, when Ronald Reagan first got elected, there was a huge anti-Reagan, but I think now the one aspect that didn't exist was the internet and 24-hour, news networks. And so it wasn't as in-your-face and constant. But now with so many formats for people to just spew whatever they're thinking, my gosh, I mean, I don't know. I mean, listen, again, I'm not totally in Trump's corner, but, I mean, can everything he possibly does be wrong? Everything?
Don't know.
Unbelievable. But, hey, that's our country. That's where we're at now. It's going to be very interesting to see what happens in the next 4 years, and especially, you know, in after this first term. I mean, this is the next... You know, the next, 2020, will it be?
Well, when you really think about it, you know, again, look at how China already kind of tapped North Korea on the shoulder.
Yeah.
You know what? we're gonna nuke you. Shut up, you little fish head. Get off my lawn. I love that. I mean, who knows?
Yeah.
Who knows? Enjoy life.
Well, I'll tell you, I have enjoyed this, and I have to say to you, Kevin, when I first had you on at the beginning of this podcast, you denied that we could do an hour.
Well, I got to get out of here. Okay. I'll tell you that. Got to go.
Well, you more than filled the bill. You more than filled the hour. And it was, I just had a great time laughing with you, learning from you. And it's always great to talk to you. It's great to hear that you are still in, you know, such a creative force. And I'm happy to, it's ironic for me to say this, but I can't believe that I can call you a friend, but I do feel. And it's very cool for me to say that, because I started out as just a fan. I've been very lucky to work with people like you and Gary, who I started out as fans and wound up working with them. And so that has been a very cool thing. So take care of yourself, be strong, be safe, but always be funny and always be creative. And please give my best to Jimmy and tell him that I didn't mean to.
Oh, he already left.
Oh, he left, okay.
Yeah, he gave you the finger and left. And tell everybody in the building I said hi, and you stay. Have a great summer, buddy.
All right, well, and congratulations to you with your kids as well, and hopefully people out there seeing Dawes this this summer and see Trevor. He's the real deal, man.
He is, and again, I the whole story I'm really proud of, Broken Mary, A Journey of Hope, available on Amazon.com or Kindle, any place. It's a fun read. It's a really good book.
Well, it has to be, because it sounds like at the end of the day, it's born from honesty, and that's the best thing it could be.
Read it. You'll like it, buddy.
I will. And thank you so much for taking the time there, Kevin.
God bless.
Take care. Wow. Well, that was fun. An hour of Kevin Matthews, both funny as well as serious, and a different side of Kevin. I'm Jim Tirano. I hope you enjoyed this episode of Jim Tirano's Captain Podtastic here at WGNplus.com. Every Monday, a new episode will be posted at WGNplus.com. This is Captain Podtastic, from the end of the web to your screens.